This is the Unconquered Podcast on Seminole Sports Radio, part of the VSporto Network, bringing you all Noles all the time.
In Florida State, we won national championships and ACC championships.
Back to the basics, consistency in what we're doing. Guys getting rolled banged and bruised, working a bunch of different situations, making progress.
You have to have success so you know something, I can really do this.
And once again, you're listening to the Unconquered Podcast on Seminole Sports Radio, part of the VSporto Network. I'm your host, Jason Staples. I'm joined today by Wayne McGahey III, Trey McGahey, from NoleDigest.com. Got a big show today, previewing the Miami game. Miami versus Florida State. We're going to do a couple different segments. Going to do offense versus defense, Florida State's offense versus defense. And Florida State's defense versus the Miami offense. And then we'll give our conclusions at the end, including our preliminary predictions. Reminder, as of right now, we don't know whether or not Dalvin Cook is going to play. But in any case, Trey, thanks for joining us.
Glad to be here, Jason.
So previewing the Miami game, let's go ahead and start by talking about the Florida State offense versus the Miami defense. And this is kind of difficult to project at this point for one really, really glaring reason.
Yeah, Dalvin Cook makes all the difference in the world here. If Dalvin Cook plays, I think Florida State is the far better team with the offensive line getting going and some pretty glaring deficiencies in the Miami defense up the middle at the defensive tackle position and at linebacker, because we're not sure if Jermaine Grace is going to play. Even if he does, there's some pretty glaring issues there.
I've been surprised given that Miami defense, they had a few guys that, you know, in the recruiting process, I thought would be pretty good. Moten, Chad Thomas is still a terrific prospect. They've got some bodies on that defensive line that I just thought would be at this point more competitive players. And they're just not very good on the defensive line at this point in the season. At least they haven't been. Now, the question is Florida State going to face that Miami team? Or are they going to, as in recent years, face a Miami team that looks nothing like the Miami team that anybody else has faced all year? I mean, this Miami defense is giving up 5.3 yards per play, 5.35 yards per play, which is not very good. And they've been giving up 4.45 yards per rush. And that's to a schedule of Bethune-Cookman, Florida Atlantic. FAU averaged 6.76 yards per carry against Miami.
It's the 101 ranked schedule in the country.
Yeah. Nebraska, that's not a very good Nebraska team. They averaged almost 5 yards a carry, and Cincinnati averaged 4.9 yards a carry against their defense. So they've not been able to stop the run against anybody. I mean, Bethune couldn't run on them, but Bethune has some difficulty against tall grass. So, you know, five plus yards per carry, if you've got Dalvin Cook in this game, if he's even remotely healthy for this game, well, you got to think Dalvin's going to average more than five a carry. And if he averages more than five a carry, then Florida State wins this game, because they're going to give it to him as many times as they need to win this game. But if he's not playing, that completely, to me, changes the dynamic of this game.
It does for me as well, but I still think that Florida State will be able to attack the interior of that defense, just because Vickers and Patrick, if they get him time this week, which I think that they will.
They've got an extra week of him really working with the ones,
yes,
and twos, and that makes a lot of difference for a young player.
Yes. So, I mean, you still have those guys who are 200. Vickers is 220. Patrick is 235, pounding it up the middle on, let's face it, a pretty soft interior. So I think it definitely changes the dynamic. Neither of those guys are Dalvin Cook. Dalvin Cook is a game-changing type back. But those guys could still take pound the inside and get 4 or 5 yards of carry up the middle.
Yeah, that to me, yeah, they could potentially do that. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, with Vickers against Wake Forest, he flashed a little bit here and there. And he's, again, he's certainly not a big play guy. He's not going to bust it for 94 yards like Dalvin Cook is. And on that run, by the way, it's not Cook's speed that stuck out as much. I mean, obviously, once he gets in the open field, it's over. But the tackle that he broke at the second level there to get open, well, the first one, the main one at about 4 yards, 4-5 yards beyond the line of scrimmage, that tackle that he broke is just, I mean, wow. Wow. First of all, Dalvin Cook last year doesn't break that tackle. As good as he was last year, he doesn't break that tackle. And he's done that a few times this year where guys get good shots on him in the midsection, in, you know, around the waist, you know, even down in the legs, and they're just bouncing. I mean, that's, you know, Leonard Fournette does that.
He's put in the work in the offseason, which is crazy definitely see he wasn't that. There in the offseason.
Yeah, you can definitely see that. I mean, it's Nick Chubb does that. You know that those guys do that. But Dalvin Cook does not take a back seat in yards after contact at this point. And Vickers, the thing is, Vickers is what we saw against Wake Forest is a guy that he was able to get good lean and make sure that, you know, he didn't lose yardage too much. And, you know, when it was there, he was able to body lean forward and get 3 or 4 yards. But the difference is Dalvin Cook in those situations is not getting 3 or 4 yards. He's breaking that tackle and potentially housing it. And this, you know, the sad part is that this is a perfect opportunity for Mario Pender, if he was not in the hospital, to step right in and be that guy. And he could be with Cook hobbled a little bit. But again, this just seems to be the way that Mario Pender's career has gone so far, where the kid cannot catch a break. And he's still in the hospital at this point. And, you know, after a week and a half stay in the hospital, it's going to take him some time to get back into playing shape as well. I mean, he's going to have lost a good bit of weight. And, you know, it's going to take some time for Mario Pender to be the back that he was in the first few weeks of the season. It may take him until the end of the year. It may not be until the bowl at this point, because it takes some time to gain that weight.
I don't expect to see him for the rest of the season. We're not sure when he's going to get out of the hospital. But it's not going to be this week, and it may not be next week. So I wouldn't expect to see him.
I mean, I think we'll see him in the bowl game or wherever Florida State ends up in the postseason. I think we'll see him at that point. But I think you're right. At this point, the regular season, he's probably done.
Well,
and that's
a huge
loss.
Florida State, because since he only played in the first, I believe it was 3 games, he could potentially petition for a medical red shirt and get another year.
Yeah, but the thing is, that's the thing with Pender is, first of all, are you going to get another year from Pender? I mean, if he does have a really quality year, he's probably gone. And secondly, he's already redshirted once. So, you know, this would have to be a hardship year. And those are harder to get historically. So, I mean, I think you just got to factor that he's probably not going to get that and that he'd just be here one more year. But, I mean, the plus side to that is that it wasn't clear coming into this year whether or not Mario Pender would be there if he had even a remotely decent year this year, because the kid's going to test well, whether he would decide to go ahead and turn pro. And, you know, he might not be drafted highly or at all, but he's a guy that would pretend that he'd probably make a roster and end up making a living that way. But I think at this point, it's pretty clear he's going to be there for 2016, which gives you, again, two of the best backs. That gives you immediately one of the best backfields in the country in 2016, because then you've got, again, Cook, Pender, and Jacquez Patrick, along with Vickers. So that's a quality stable. And then you can add, you know, at least one more back in recruiting. I'd like to see them add two. But at any rate, I think that is really the question that we're going to have to see, is whether or not Dalvin Cook plays. If he does, then that's a security blanket that's there for Everett Golson in the offense. And, you know, I talked on an earlier podcast this week about how much of an improvement we saw from Everett Golson against Wake Forest. I mean, the kid looked completely different against Wake Forest. It was a much, much better, more comfortable performance from a guy who looked like he understood what they were trying to do. He understood the concepts. Now, he was still late on some things here and there, but he looked like he understood where to go, why to go there, and understood some of that. And that's the real key.
He was able to get off of his first progression. Even like there were multiple plays where he went through his first and even second progression to the third guy. That's something that you didn't see from him before the bye week.
Yeah, and the other thing is that there were a couple places where he was comfortable enough to use his legs in places where in the first few weeks those things were potentially there, but he was late enough to make those decisions that he wasn't able to threaten with his legs. But there are a couple cases in this game, thinking particularly of a scramble in the third quarter, where he recognized man coverage, recognized that he had a lane to run, and ran for 17 yards. And Everett Golson, who does that, is a pretty good player. Now, my concern coming in, especially if Dalvin Cook doesn't play and there's more of a demand for the Florida State passing game to make plays against Miami, is Miami has forced 11 turnovers on the year. Now, by contrast, Florida State's forced 6. So they've not been very good up front in terms of stopping the run and lots of things, but one thing they've done is they've turned the opponent over. You know, you look at their game log here, and they had 2 interceptions against Bethune, 2 interceptions against Florida Atlantic, 3 against Nebraska, and 1 against Cincy. That's 8 INTs on the year. And the concern that I have, and they forced some fumbles too. You know, again, that's 3 fumbles that they've recovered. By contrast, Florida State, as good as Florida State secondary's been, they've got 3 interceptions on the year. Now, that's partly because South Florida didn't try to throw. Boston College really didn't try to throw. And Wake Forest, while they did throw, it was mostly on run-pass option stuff and throwing really short. So there weren't a whole lot of opportunities for interceptions, and Texas State really didn't try to throw. So there's some of that there. But the thing that I'm looking at is Miami has 8 interceptions on the year. They've forced some fumbles. Yes, Everett Golson has not turned the football over through 4 games. But through 3 games last year, Everett Golson had not turned the ball over either. And then in that 4th game against Syracuse, the floodgates opened a little bit against a better defense than he'd played so far. My concern is Miami has an opportunistic secondary where if Florida State is forced to throw because they're not able to run it as well, because, you know, they're of comfort level with not being there with Vickers or whatever, that this is the game where we see some more struggles there. That's, I think, the biggest potential hurdle that this offense has to face in this game.
I don't disagree. Cook being out, as we've said before, completely changes the game. I'm not sure that Golson's ready to have it thrust upon his shoulders yet, but the Miami secondary is while they're opportunistic, they also give up a lot of big plays. I think that it's going to be boom or bust, obviously, with Tracy Howard. Most Florida State fans will remember him. Florida State thought they were getting him for a long time, but he hasn't lived up to expectations. Corn Elder is a backup. He's played pretty well, but he was the one that got burned that cost him the game against Cincinnati. You've got Deion Bush, Jamal Carter back at safety, and while Bush has been very good, Carter gets exposed quite a bit. So,
and then you have Artie Burns. You
have Artie Burns, who is very good.
He's
he's the best player in that secondary.
I think he might be the best player in their defense.
I would go with Grace, but I can understand the argument.
He might be the best player that at least plays in this game on defense. I mean,
yes.
It's not clear whether Grace
We're
is going to
sure
play.
Grace
and if Grace plays,
play.
Whether or not he's going to be 100%. He's certainly not going to be 100%. But so, you know, we don't know what they're going to get in that. But yeah, and, you know, looking at what you said, I mean, Nebraska averaged 7 yards per attempt, and Cincinnati averaged 8.5. You know, so it can be done. You know, they gave up a lot of plays in those games, but the concern that I have is, you know, Nebraska threw 3 picks and Cincy threw 1. Florida State has been pretty good, has been efficient on offense, in part because they haven't turned it over.
Absolutely.
But if Florida State turns it over 2 or 3 times against Miami, I'm not sure they win this game.
Well, I mean, you could pretty much say that with you know, most any game.
Well, I mean, I think they could have turned it over against, say, Boston College or even against Wake. They could have turned it over in those games. And those offenses were probably not going to make Florida State pay enough for those turnovers, unless we're talking pick sixes. So this is a game where, let's go ahead then and flip to the defensive side.
Just 1 second. There's also one thing that I wanted to point out that I thought was pretty important. Miami has allowed 12 trips to the red zone. Eight of those attempts have ended in touchdowns for the other team.
Yeah, which again speaks to their poor play on the front seven. And again, my concern there is they've not played well on the front seven, but they have enough players that, again, we've seen Miami play very different football against Florida State than they have it against other teams.
Oh, absolutely.
And you get those players suddenly playing with fire, and all of a sudden Florida State's facing a totally different defensive line than anybody else has. And, you know, I don't generally like to lean on effort as a thing. I mean, effort gets way too much discussion. Oh, well, you know, you can just see they came out flat in this game. No, most of the time we're talking about execution. It's not effort. But with Miami, there are times where you look at it and they look listless. Like defensively, you just don't see the level of I'm going to die to make this play up front that you have to be an elite program. But you do see it every year against Florida State. So, yeah. I wonder.
And then they go on to
falter
the rest of the season. Yeah. They've made it. I mean, whether or not they believe in it, they've made it a point to not let Florida State define their season. So,
yeah, well, it does define their season right now, and they know that. So, you know, at the end of the day, we are going to see that Miami defensive line play differently than they have all year. So, you know, again, that's one of those where I look at that and I say 8 out of 12 trips to the red zone have turned into touchdowns. That means they're not playing very well up front. They're getting beat up front.
Yes.
But.
And they fold at the end of drives.
Right. And they fold at the end of drives. But I don't know that they fold against Florida State. Now, the best case scenario for Florida State is that they come out and they do what Florida did to Ole Miss, and they, you know, create a turnover or something early. They get up by a couple scores and put a bullet in them right, really early, double tap those people out of there.
That team will quit.
And that team could quit. But if they let them hang around and Miami's able to get an early lead and do some of that stuff, that defense, they have enough talent on the front to give Florida State problems. And that's got to be the real concern for Florida State going in.
And once again, this is the Unconquered Podcast on Seminole Sports Radio. I'm your host, Jason Staples, and I'm joined by Wayne McGahee III from NoleDigest.com. And we are talking about the Florida State-Miami game. Let's go ahead and flip then to the Florida State defense versus Miami's offense. And this is a very different matchup than anything Florida State's faced all year.
Yep. I actually wrote an article about it, you know, earlier in the week.
Yeah, and for those of you who want to take a look at this article, it's at NoleDigest.com. You should really check it out. It's good work by Trey McGahee here. Check that out. Go ahead and summarize it for us, though.
Well, Miami averages 268 yards passing per game. Kai is a very, very good quarterback, but he's not mobile. And apparently he's going to be even less mobile than normal.
Yeah, he's got a giant knee brace on
right now. Because apparently he's wearing a giant knee brace after some sort of injury. Miami said it was precautionary, but if he wears that against Florida State, it's going to cause some issues.
Well, even if he's not wearing it, it means that he's slowed a little bit.
Well, I mean, yeah, but he's slow originally. He has 8 carries for negative 21 yards on the season. He's not a rushing quarterback, which is completely different from everything that they faced. Every quarterback, all 4 games, has been a running quarterback. This is the first time that the Florida State defensive line will be able to pin their ears back and go get him.
Right, which makes stopping the run on those early downs all the more important with Joe Yearby and Mark Walton and some of these other guys. They need to stop the run on the Florida State defensive tackles need to play like they did against Boston College and not like they did against Wake Forest to stop that run in the early downs. So that then you can let those guys get after him, and this is a great return game for Lorenzo Featherston for that reason, because you've got a stationary target for that guy to try to get to in the backfield.
I mean, it's definitely a big game for him. It'll be a big game for Josh Sweat. He'll finally be able. A lot of people have been complaining about the Florida State defensive line not getting upfield and rushing the passer. They're engaging the blockers and then just not doing anything. And that was by design because they couldn't get out of their rush lanes. They still won't be able to do that, you know, because of, you know, draws, screens, stuff like that. But it's going to change how their mindset and their ability to get upfield. You're going to see the Florida State defensive line turned loose for the first time this season.
Yeah, and again, going back, you know, Florida State's averaging this year two sacks per game, and that's against mobile quarterbacks. Last year, on the whole, they averaged 1.21. Now, that basically puts us on pace for what we had projected at the beginning of the year, where we would see Florida State double the sack number from last year. They're on pace for that. And in this game, Miami has – the one thing – Miami's got – tremendous playmakers on the outside. And this is a game where Stacy Coley returns. This is a game where, you know, they've got some guys that can, you know, we haven't seen the Florida State secondary tested. Like you said, all the quarterbacks have been runners. They've not played a group of wide receivers and such that have really threatened you. I mean, is there one receiver that has lined up across from Jalen Ramsey or Marquez White that you said, well, you know, that's going to be a tough matchup? No.
Oh, absolutely not. But here's the other side of that. What's one cornerback that's lined up against Miami receivers that you say, oh, that's going to be a good matchup?
Yeah, they haven't played any really good corners either. But the point is that when you look at what they have with, you know, Rayshon Scott and Herb Waters and Tyre Brady and then you get, you know, all the way down to Stacy Coley, who has been sort of nicked up. Braxton Berrios, you know, you've got some guys that have some speed and are, you know, long, rangy receivers that can give you problems, particularly if they're focused. You know, you put Herb Waters in the slot against Tyler Hunter, and you don't feel super confident that that's going to be a good matchup for Florida State if they have to go man-to-man. So this is where that's going to be a real test. Now, on the other hand, Miami's offensive line has not been very good this year at all.
No.
So you combine their difficulties up front, both in the running game and protecting Kaya, and you give Florida – basically, I think this game on this side of the ball boils down to the Florida State secondary not giving up a bunch of big plays. So they need to not give up big plays. And then the defensive line needs to eat. Defensive line needs to – that's where Florida State's advantage is in this game on that side of the ball. I think you know, we don't know with the wide receivers versus Florida State's DBs who wins that matchup. Florida State's linebackers without Terrence Smith, this is a bad deal because Terrence Smith is the guy you want against this Miami offense because Miami can throw the football. They can threaten you in several different ways. They've got some running backs who can move. You want that guy who can make plays moving forward and particularly in the passing game. But, you know, so we've got some matchups there that Miami may be able to work to their favor. But the one place that Florida State has, I think, a clear edge coming into this game is the Florida State defensive line against the Miami offensive line. And that's where I think on this side of the ball, that's where this game is won or lost.
I completely agree. But I will say this: I watched I watched the Florida State Nebraska game or the Miami Nebraska game through the entirety, through the first quarter to the, you know, overtime where Nebraska dude just crapped the bed and lost the game.
Nebraska is not very good. They're just not very good.
No, but the thing that struck me is that Miami had a ton of big plays from wide receivers. But it was because there wasn't a single defensive back in the area.
Yeah, and also because Nebraska's defensive backs really lacked athleticism. They looked like stereotypical Big Ten defensive backs.
Yes, they're non-athletic. For the first time all season, and this goes both ways, for the first time all season, Miami's wide receivers are going up against athletes as good as they are. I want to see how good of wide receivers they are because I'm not sure that they're anything beyond athletic guys. Yeah, that goes for all of them.
We'll see about that. I think that there are a couple guys that'll play on Sundays out of that group.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of speed there. I mean, look, the Colts drafted Philip Dorsett in the first round last year. He's nothing but speed. He was a decent wide receiver with bad hands that could run a 4.2.
Yeah, and they've got a few others, and they've got some guys with size and speed. And again, you know, what that means is when you've got – I have a lot of respect for Kaya as a quarterback. I think he's excellent. You know, I think he has a lot more mastery of what they're asking him to do in this offense this year. Grown a tremendous amount, and they've got receivers who regardless of how polished they are as receivers, they can make big plays. And, you know, you look at, they've got, with Standish Dobart at tight end, they've got a guy that can actually make some catches down the field as well.
I'm not a fan of Dobart. He's nowhere near what Walford was.
No,
he's
of course
not.
No, he's not. But he's a guy that against Reggie Northrup, you know, he's probably going to win a couple matchups here and there. So they've got, you know, some guys that can win some matchups against who they're going against. So when we look at that, again, I'm not sure, you know, if the Florida State secondary comes in and just locks these guys down, then I think that's a huge good sign for the rest of the year. But I'm not convinced at this point that with this group of receivers, which is one of the better groups Florida State's going to play this year, you know, I'm not convinced they don't get a play or two.
I'm sure they'll get a play or two.
I'm talking about, you know, one of those, you know, 60-yarders that you see almost every time Florida State plays Miami, where you see a guy running free and running away from the secondary. I expect to see that. The question is, how many of those do you give up? You might be able to give up one. I don't think you can give up more than one and win this game.
If Miami's going to win this game, they're going to have to do it because they are atrocious in the red zone.
Yeah, they're going to have, and again, that's because their offensive line is not as good as what they've been. So, you know, that to me, again, is it the defensive thing comes down to, can Florida State secondary limit the big plays, and can the defensive line win their matchup the way that they should? So let's go ahead then and give our preliminary projections. And the way I'm going to do it, let's give our without Cook. And that without Cook, I mean, Cook is not healthy enough to be a significant contributor. So if he plays but can only give you 8 or 9 carries and he's nowhere near normal, that's without Cook. With Cook. So you go ahead first. What do you expect? Let's go without Cook. What's your projection for Florida State Miami this weekend?
Without Cook, I think Florida State wins 24-14.
Yeah, I believe that's boy, you're really putting a lot of faith in the Florida State defense there.
I am. I think that Florida State is one of the best defenses in the red zone of keeping people out of the end zone. And Miami is probably the worst team in the country at getting into the end zone for the red zone. At this point, I don't think I believe in the Florida State defense. I think that the Florida State pass rush is going to show up for the first time in nearly two seasons. And
again, that's a lot of faith on some things we haven't seen in a while. But I'm not sure I disagree. To me, anytime I'm picking, this is preseason, this is during the season, and so on. And when I get in trouble, I go away. It's because I went away from this usually. But my rule for picking football games, and one of the reasons that I've had more success, I mean, I've got a pretty good record against the spread in our weekly picks right now. One of the reasons I've had more success than most tend to have is when I'm picking games, the first thing I do is I look at the matchups, not at quarterback, not at the skill positions. Who's going to win the line of scrimmage? And in this game, when I look at it, Miami has a weakness on the offensive line that, as we've seen Florida State's defensive line playing pretty well over the course of the season, I think Florida State has an edge on that side, should have an edge. On the flip side, neither team has been super strong on the other side. Miami's defensive line has not been great, and Florida State's offensive line has kind of been a work in progress. But I think at worst, Miami wins that matchup some. At best, Florida State dominates that matchup. So, you know, I think that tilts, that's either neutral or maybe tilts in favor of Florida State because of that left side of the Florida State offensive line, and because you've seen some improvement with Hofeld and Kelly being added to that offensive line. Obviously, Miami will play better. So that means to me that Florida State probably has at least a small edge up front on both sides of the ball. Now, the second thing I always look at is quarterback, and I think Miami has a distinctive edge there. So that means to me, without Cook, you probably give Florida State a slight edge. To me, it's something like maybe 27, or maybe 24-21 or something like that, or 24-23. I'm talking about a nail biter without Cook. Now, with Cook, what are you thinking?
With Cook?
And this 31, is Cook, this is Cook healthy enough to be Dalvin Cook.
31-17.
So you think if Florida State has Dalvin Cook, Miami scores more points?
Yes, because Cook will break one or two.
So it means more possessions.
Yes, that means more possessions. If Florida State does not have Cook, they will have to work for their drives like they did against against Wake Forest. The one.
I'm not sure Miami can possess the ball like that, like Wake Forest did. I think Miami's. I don't know that Miami can possess the ball like Wake Forest did. I think they're going to have to score quickly. They're going to have to. I don't think they drive the field and score against Florida State like that. I think they have to score quickly.
I completely understand. I just think there are going to be a lot more possessions at that point.
Yeah, yeah.
Like two or three more possessions, and that comes out to a field goal.
Yeah. Okay. So you've got 31-17 there. I think if Cook plays and is resembling normal Dalvin Cook. See, I think Miami scores less in that case because Florida State's able to run the football and control it a little bit. I have Florida State 27, Miami, say, 14 or something like that in that case. So at that point, I think Florida State covers the spread. I think I think Cook may make that big of a difference in this offense with the way that they're so dependent on him right now. But I think I favor Florida State in this game either way. I think that without Cook, they're probably 60%. They win 60% of these games. With Cook, they probably win 75-80%. But we'll see. I mean, this is one that I think Florida State fans should be nervous about.
I completely agree.
Well, it's Miami, right?
Yeah, it's always Miami. Well, I say 24-14. I mean, I think that game, I want to clarify, I don't think Florida State runs away with it. I think Florida State kicks a field goal or scores a touchdown late to put them up by that much. But I think it's going to be, if Cook doesn't play, it's going to be a low-scoring game.
Yeah, I think that's – it's hard to argue against that. Although, you know, again – they could end up hitting a couple big plays. And I think this is one of those weeks where we're going to see actually some of the younger wide receivers play a little bit too, because they've had a little bit more time. A lot of people have been asking about where's George Campbell, where's Javon Harrison and some others. You know, I think we might see George Campbell in this game. We might see, you know, if Harrison is healthy enough, we might see him.
We'll say that, sorry, not to cut you off. I will say that Harrison, is not wearing a knee brace. He'd been in a knee brace since he hurt his knee early in camp. He's not wearing a knee brace during practice. So I don't know if that's a sign that he's more healthy, healthier in that case. But
yeah, and if he is healthier, he'll definitely play. And that's one of the reasons he hasn't played is, you know, he hasn't been healthy. And again, everybody's been, you know, where are the young wide receivers? Well, you've had four injuries among the young wide receivers. You had Harrison's knee, you had George Campbell out, missed about 3 weeks. You had Auden Tate and Nyquan Murray, both with hand injuries that cost them a couple weeks. So, I mean, but they've started to get enough reps the last couple weeks where they're starting to work their way back in. And I think wouldn't be surprised if we saw a little bit of that. And if you do see some of those guys, you may see a little bit of a little bit of a change there. Now, I'm going to call one shot for this game. I think Florida State returns a kickoff for a touchdown in this game.
I was just about to say that.
Okay, so we both agree on that. Florida yes. State, I'm going to call a shot. I think Florida State takes a kickoff back to the house in this game. It'd be interesting to see if that happens, when it happens. Yep. And which one it is. I think it could be either one, but
teams
I think
have been avoiding Ramsey so far.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, and for good reason, but that means kicking it to Kermit, which is exactly what they want. So I think Florida State returns a kickoff for a touchdown in this game. Miami special teams have been a little sketchy here and there and I think there's going to be something there for that kick return, where we're going to see a couple big kick returns. And I think one goes to the house.
Two things that I want to point out about special teams. When it comes to returning punts, Florida State is in the top five worst teams in the country.
3 yards per return.
3.6. Let's give them that 0.6.
That matters okay. when you're that small, yeah.
Oh, it matters. Miami, in punt return yardage allowed is in the top five or is the bottom five worst.
Yeah.
At 22.5 yards per return. Something's got to give.
Irresistible, what is it? The completely resistible force versus the entirely movable object.
Yeah, it's like two grandpas in a stroller race.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see about that punt return game. Okay, what's your second one?
Miami actually has less net punt return of punting yardage.
That shocked me when I saw that earlier Florida this State week. Does. That shocked me. Their punting game has been worse than Florida State's. That's got to be the only game this year where that's going to be the case.
Probably, but I just wanted to point that out. Miami's special teams are horrible.
Yeah, so I think we see a kick return for a touchdown in this game. I think that if Cook doesn't play, I think that may well wind up the difference in the game. So we'll see.
It definitely could.
We'll see. But anyway, in any case, that's going to do it for us today. Now, before we get out of here, just a reminder that you can now download the Seminole Sports Radio app on iOS and on Google Play. And, of course, the Scout.com app, the Noll Digest app on iOS. So go ahead and do that. Make sure you keep up with both me and Wayne. You can follow me on Twitter at Doc Staples. You can follow Wayne at Wayne McGahee III. And, of course, you can follow Seminole Sports Radio at Seminoles Radio for the latest on FSU sports. And, of course, make sure to catch our next podcast, which will cover our instant reactions to the Miami game. As always, I'm Jason Staples on behalf of Trey McGahee, that is Wayne McGahee III. This has been the Unconquered Podcast on Seminole Sports Radio of eSporto Channel. Thanks for listening. I made this.